Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Time I took care to get lubed up, by which I mean drink some beer.
It's not that kind of video chat.
Oh, it is.
Keyshawn's expressions is 1,000 words.
Yes. So, how's it going, gentlemen?
Disgusting.
Disgusting?
Why? Why disgusting?
You're lubed.
Only in the sense that I've had a few beers. I'm not, you know, ready for any kind of physical interaction.
Age. I better go get some scotch.
You probably should. No, I'm not like, you know.
Oh, we had a whiskey episode. Maybe it's a scotch episode.
I am zero sheets to the wind, but I could become one sheet to the wind.
Well, bear with me, gentlemen.
Is that a lot written?
Keyshawn Scotch. Keyshawn of Islay.
So, like, is, like, the first sheet equal to the second sheet, or is it, like, logarithmic, like the Richter scale?
I think it's logarithmic.
I think it's the Richter scale.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah. It's taking us on tour. No, I'm not sure that we. That's my booze. Unless you're gonna make it right now.
No, I just drank a beer. Or well, no, I mean I just drank a sip of a new beer.
Oh, is that why you went quiet?
Wait, did I go quiet?
Yeah.
I might have dropped. Oh, you know what? Give me a second, because I'm on HSPA right now, and it's gonna suck. So let me. I might drop off the call, but I'll be right back if I do.
Are you gonna drop the mic?
Drop the mic. Mic check. Mic check.
Check one sibilance. Sibilance.
Check in the mic. Mic check. Sibilance. 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 Sibilance.
God, you know how old that joke is.
All right, there may be a hiccup.
I actually don't. I don't even know the origin of that joke. I'm guessing pretty bad.
You don't? Really? It was the Wayne's World.
Wait.
Or Aerosmith.
Oh, okay. Wayne's World 2.
No. It was a Wayne's World episode where Tom Hanks was hosting.
Oh, on SNL.
Yeah, it was on SNL.
Oh, you know, it's funny you mentioned that one, because I just saw part of that one on VH1 for, like, the first time late last year.
So yeah, Tom Hanks was host.
Uh-huh.
And he was Garth's cousin, and Garth's cousin was a roadie for Aerosmith, and that's how he got Aerosmith on the show. And he was demonstrating what he could do, and what he did. And he essentially would set up the microphones and go test, check one, sibilance, check test one. Came from Tom Hanks.
As do all good things.
Like Wilson.
Wilson! Damn it, you got there first. Cyrus, I was pissed when Mike posted that tweet about his new team being totally solid. I didn't see your tweet. I think I went to bed before you posted the rushing in the fall thing. I woke up at like 7:30 the next morning, and I was like, oh, the perfect response. And then I went to type it in, and I saw your response, and it was exactly what I was going to type. And I was like, oh, beaten by Cyrus.
You just got jutted.
I did. I got jutted hard.
That's all right. It happens once in a while.
Yeah. So what have you guys been up to? Wait, are we like starting this thing? You're recording, I see.
Wait,
I see
recording.
A live...
Are you guys you good and lubricated there?
Not to be.
Disgusting.
This is Dalmore Scotch.
That's good.
Someone's been watching Dallas in the preseason with that much whiskey.
The reading on the back of the box, which I want to get this down for posterity, if nothing else. The Dalmore. In 1263, the ancestor of Clan Mackenzie saved King Alexander III from being gored by a stag with a single arrow. The grateful king granted him the right to bear a stag's head in his coat of arms with the motto, Help the King, which reads, Quidditin Rai in the Gaelic language. The Dalmore Distillery was long owned by the Mackenzie family, and every bottle of the Dalmore is adorned with this noble emblem, a stag's head with 12 points to its antlers, signifying a roar, a reminder of our heroic past and an inspiration for all who taste our single Highland malt.
Sweet.
I think that's as good a place to start on as anything.
I love it. It puts me in the proper mood for scotch every time I read it.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like killing a deer now. Damn.
Exactly. No, I want to kill a stag. Fuck deer. I want to kill a stag.
Don't fuck deer. That sounds like a bad idea. Bam!
Don't fuck deer. Rule number
one. Winners are free at least daily joke.
The FBI says winners don't fuck deer.
Hey. You're walking all over my intro here.
Sorry.
Oh, is there an intro?
So this is Full of Town and Fury Podcast. I'm Cyrus Martizabi of Kirkland, Washington. I'm all over the internet, but my main page is riseagainproductions.tumblr.com. With me, threatening harm to woodland creatures from New York. Maybe I'm not. Maybe he's not with me.
No, I'm definitely with you. Although for a second there, it was dicey. But
there was a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah, I saw a cat walk by twice, but now I am here. And not much longer for New York. I spent most of today packing up my apartment. Ooh. Not that there was much to do. Not much of an apartment after all. So next week, a week from now, I will be on the road. So, but yes, hello.
On the Oregon Trail, as it were.
Yes. I'm going to be shooting deer. I'm going to shoot 2,000 pounds of meat, but only be able to carry 200 of it back to my wagon.
And die of dysentery. Hey, what are you drinking tonight? Since most of the podcasts I listen to have that as a segment, so why not us?
Well, right now I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. It's okay. Most American breweries don't do very good Oktoberfests because they fuck something up. But this one, I mean, it's not a standout, but it's acceptable.
Very nice. Enjoying a Dalmore Scotch. I think I got that name right. From Austin, Texas. Keyshawn Xavier, my favorite dad bro.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
Dad broing 2015.
See, that was the sign-on punch I've been looking for.
Wait a minute, the reading from the Dalmore history was not enough?
Oh, no, that was excellent. That was educational. But
inspirational.
The explanatory. That you've been so famous for. I don't think you've ever gotten the podcast yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Have I related to you? I know that, well, obviously Keyshawn knows this since he was there, but the first time I met Keyshawn was at the Salt Lick. It was a whole big group of people, and I ended up sitting next to Key. And Key turned to me as the meet arrived, and he just said, I'm about to get the meat sweats. And then he turned to his meat and tucked in, as did
barbecue.
I. Because, yeah.
The meat we're referring to is barbecue, for those who don't know.
Yes, the meat sweats. So that was my introduction to Key, was via the meat sweats.
Good times. I just had that tonight with Mike the Room Troll.
Hello. Whoa.
Very nice.
How's the room troll doing?
Packing to move to Dallas.
Yeah.
Jesus God. Save his soul.
I got an email from a mutual friend. Actually, it was a Facebook message from Thomas. And he was saying, sorry, we've stolen Mike from you. and I didn't know what to say.
You could have said, fuck you, you Aggie bastard. But, I mean, apparently you're more conciliatory than you used to be back in the fantasy football days.
There were just so many ways to respond, I froze.
I've been there.
There were so many ways to go with it. I couldn't do it. I just froze, so I said, ha ha. That's the best I could do.
Your cup runneth over.
No one bats 1,000. Alright, so gentlemen, what do you guys want to talk about tonight?
I think we have a few topics. I mean, clearly there's some trailer material to discuss.
Okay.
What trailer?
Well, there's the Deadpool trailer came out since the last time we talked. That's probably worth at least nodding toward.
That is worth bringing up.
Yeah, that's right.
I need you guys to explain to me why I should give a shit.
Because Marvel is now finally realizing that R-rated superhero movies could be a thing that makes them money. Now, it's clear that they're not going to make as much money off of R-rated flicks because, well, I mean, this just doesn't have the same wide audience. Look at Fury Road. It was fantastic, and still it had a hard time, you know, breaking 100 million because of the R rating. But like, somehow they need to, I don't know, need to is a strong word. It would be good for them to pull in that audience, the people who want the R-rated superhero movies. I think I would count myself among those people because, frankly, I'm sick of seeing, like, super family-oriented superhero movies.
Help me out. Who are the R-rated superheroes?
Well, look, I mean, for me, like, I like Irredeemable, the irredeemable version of Ant-Man, and he's clearly an R-rated superhero. Deadpool probably counts, as we can see.
Definitely.
Punisher would make an excellent R-rated superhero.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Okay.
If we're willing to go a little further afield, like, and I know that this is not owned by Marvel, but, like, aren't they making a Preacher movie? That's got to be R. Like, anything
that
by Ennis.
That isn't filmed for television.
Oh, it's TV. Interesting.
AMC,
so it's going to be...
Though.
Whoa. Okay, so it's cable at least, but it's not...
Yeah.
I mean, something like... What's The Boys? The Boys is actually, like, a perfect movie comic book.
That's barely a comic.
Dude, how dare you? How dare you, sir?
It's like 70 issues of the same joke.
Doesn't matter. We keep eating that shit until we get sick of it. And the magic of that shit is we don't get sick of it. Also, it's not the same joke because there was only one or maybe two or three arcs where a big dick was the joke. So out of seven, three, as Meatloaf would say, 3 out of 7 ain't bad.
I think those are the right numbers. To lay in here, go for it.
No, I'm actually interested in who the other R-rated heroes were. I just started pondering who.
Well, I hate to.
Moon Knight would make an excellent R-rated superhero.
I have to point out for the purpose of accuracy that Deadpool is not a Marvel film. Fox is making it.
It's true.
Marvel Studios remains committed to PG-13.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I realized that moments after I said it.
Yeah.
Still, I would...
Pull this wall when Jessica Jones comes out.
Who made Blade?
New Line Cinema.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, which I recently watched again a couple nights ago. Man, it's still...
It still holds up. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know that Marvel's talking with Wesley Snipes, right?
I do indeed.
They're telling him, pay your taxes.
makes me so happy.
Yeah, are they going to do another Blade? Are they going to reboot Blade? Is that the notion here?
I don't think they're rebooting the film, but he might be showing up as Blade in the MCU moving forward.
Yeah. I think they're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
I can't see any reason why not.
So let me swing back to my original question then. So is the R rating, is that Deadpool's entire draw?
No. It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be.
Okay.
It's funny because it's funny because of the sort of mix of casual violence and toilet humor, right?
It's like if Spider-Man cut loose.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Deadpool in the comic as Wolverine. That's the entire thing.
What?
My question is, who over the age of 7 enjoys that?
I do.
Adults who have the sensibilities of a 7-year-old and also Keyshawn.
Yeah, that's me. Well, I think that's one and the same.
Based on the Scout's Guide to Zombie Apocalypse trailer that you posted and which Mike the Room Troll said was amazing, or whatever the fuck he said, there is an audience for Deadpool.
Oh,
I'm going to do you one better. I thought that was funnier than the Deadpool trailer.
it might have been. I'll be honest with you.
Did you see the?
I didn't laugh once during that trailer.
Did you see the proof of concept video?
For
all right, the reason why they're making the Deadpool movie, as far as I understand, is that they had done a proof of concept video where it was all done by through special effects, completely 100% CG. when they showed it, it went viral and was real popular.
It was kind
of their way of ginning up enough interest to do the movie. Did you ever
God
see
damn
that?
It. Next I year we're going to see fucking Fox Films kickstarting movies. Fucking Christ.
But did you see it?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Watch that and then tell me that doesn't look good.
No, I mean, look, there's going to be some funny shit in there. Like the thing in the trailer where he says your face looks like something fucked a topographical map of Utah. I forget what. I mean, I laughed when he said it.
Did you? I didn't. I'm laughing at you telling me about it now. I guess that counts for something, but I was like, meh.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's...
Maybe I'm just broken. I'm just trying to figure out why.
No. I think you're totally reasonable, because, like, what I'm happy about is I love R-type action movies, and I don't mean like the space shooting game super R-type. I like R action movies. I like Die Hard, and I like Terminator 2, and I really miss that shit.
These are all those names.
Nowadays, action movies are... So I wouldn't mind, because nowadays, like, comic book movies are basically the massive blockbuster movies of... Yeah, exactly. That's what we get instead of action movies, with the exception of Fury
Jurassic
Road, which
World.
Was... Oh, my God. I'm thinking... it's fucking Jurassic World. But Jurassic World is its own kind of thing, right? Like, Jurassic Park existed, you know, whatever, 20 years ago, and it was a similar kind of thing. It's a tentpole that's, like, this weird sci-fi family... broad appeal mixed thing where it's not exactly clear how that happens, but somehow everyone understands that it has. But like, it seems like the mass appeal movies now that are sort of action oriented are all superhero movies. And frankly, I'd like to see something that's action oriented. That's also R, that doesn't like pussyfoot around a bunch of the sort of, you know, the cussing and the sex and the, I mean, yeah, everything's got some kind of violence to it, and great, sure, whatever, but somehow I'd like to see a movie that isn't like, doesn't reflect our fucked up sensibilities in quite as strong a way. Like, violence is fine, but you better not talk about tits. Like, that this feels so fake. That's all.
Wait, I'm confused. Are you against or for fake tits? You kind of shut up.
I am for all the tits. And I am therefore disturbed that, like, the standard action movie or the standard superhero movie fare pretends that they just don't exist.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that family audiences where the big bucks are. So I understand why they're courting it. But, you know, I feel like we've gotten some more classic action films as of late than we had in a while that were quite good. We've talked about this recently. You know, Fury Road, like we can't stop talking about.
Jesus Christ, yes. John Wick was good.
I enjoyed the hell out of The Equalizer.
Still haven't seen it.
I probably talked it up too much, but I think you guys will enjoy it.
No, dude, I'm going to go into it with my mind a clean slate. I'm just there to enjoy, to soak up the goodness.
It's a good time.
Okay, so this is a distantly, like, the tiniest bit tangential to what we were just talking about, because I mentioned Terminator a second ago. But did either of you realize that Shirley Manson, the lead singer of Garbage, was a T-1001 in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the television show?
I did indeed remember that.
Wow. That's so awesome.
God, what a bizarre reference.
Oh, my God, dude. She's still the best.
Well, shit. Well, Sarah Connor from the television show is Cersei Lannister.
Right.
That I don't remember.
There were a lot of famous women in that show.
Oh,
there were a ton of actors in that thing.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah.
Catherine Weaver.
We got post-Serenity. Wait, what?
No.
Yeah, you got River Tam in there.
Shirley Manson.
Yes, Shirley Manson. Redheaded Scottish chick, I want to say.
Yeah, but didn't she play...
Yeah.
She's only happy when it rains.
Yeah, that one. Come on, man. Temptation waits.
Jesus, Harold.
Don't ask me how many days it's been since I've listened to a Garbage album, because the answer will be disturbingly low. Single digits.
An album?
Garbage, am I weird?
An album, like, you know, version 2.0 in particular.
You guys just came around a tangent that I want to talk about, so I'm gonna take that ball and run with it. You guys are actually two of the biggest music aficionados I know, so I want to get your feelings, or your feels. I just became a 14-year-old girl. Feelings on vinyl.
On what?
Are you guys into that whole scene?
Vinyl?
Vinyl.
The records?
I have some feelings about vinyl.
Would you care to characterize them?
Sure. Okay, so here's the deal. There are certain things, like, you know this about me. There are certain things that are hobbies that border on obsession, right? And everybody has some thing where it's kind of a combination of, I don't know, maybe something that you liked when you were a kid, or something that just has some tactile sensation to it. In the case of vinyl, I think it's like hunting down those records and just finding them and checking that they're in good shape and then carefully cleaning them. All of that is part of the experience. The listening, there is definitely a sense in which vinyl can sound really good. And that's especially true for modern vinyl, because modern CDs are mastered in such a way that they can often sound like shit, but the vinyl usually doesn't get mastered that way. But ignoring those
sort of take I've heard, and I guess I basically just wanted to know from you guys if
there really is like a technical reason for that. Like, a good example of this is, like, maybe the best example I can think of is the album Back to Black by, what's her name?
Ben Affleck.
By Ben Affleck, yes. No, what the hell is the girl's name? She died of a drug overdose / alcohol / whatever. She was this extremely talented singer.
My God. I'm going to be here all night with that description.
Right? Okay. Anyway, so this album, it'll come to me in a second. Say again?
Janis Joplin? Did she die recently?
No. Yeah, 2009, 2010.
God.
Look,
Is this the girl that wouldn't go to rehab?
Yes,
wrote a song about not going to rehab?
Yes.
What's her name?
That's the album I'm talking about, Rehab. So Back to Black is the name of the album, but it'll come to me in a second. So anyway, if you listen
to
this,
Amy Winehouse,
precisely. Okay, if you listen to the CD version of that thing, like, it sounds fucking god awful. Like, you just hear crickle crackle because they mastered it in such, they just turned up the gain so much that, like, everything limits, everything clips. And I'm not normally somebody. No, seriously, I'm not normally somebody who really, like, I'm like, okay, fine, like, loudness, that's definitely a thing. It sells albums, whatever. This CD is offensive. So if you listen to the vinyl version of it, totally clean, totally beautiful. The reason is you just cannot turn up the gain so much on vinyl without, like, literally causing the needle to skip. So there's a physical limitation on how much you can turn up the gain. And as a result, sometimes it's just enough to curb these disgusting tendencies of some of the modern, like, mastering practices. That said, vinyl degrades every time you listen to it. And most vinyl that you buy for, like, classic albums is shit because it's been listened to so many times. So anyone who says, oh, vinyl, like, sounds... vinyl doesn't sound better on average. I mean, like, once you've listened to it 1,000 times, it's going to sound kind of blubbery and shitty.
I'm sorry. I have kept my mouth shut long enough. My scotch has kicked in. It's time for me to speak, motherfucker.
Go. I'll shut up.
I was going to make an argument about how you were wrong, but you Rick James on me and said I wouldn't go in and fuck up that guy's couch. Yeah, I went in and fucked up his couch. You just talked about how great that vinyl was, and then turned right around.
No. I was saying that there is a limited technical sense in which it can potentially sound better. However, on average, no, it fucking doesn't. It's your goddamn imagination.
Yes.
The same way that people who buy fucking special cables to connect their computer, their speakers to their to their receivers are fucking nuts and should be made fun of. Those same people think that vinyl sounds better all the time.
No, okay.
And they're wrong.
All right. And I thought that might be what's going on there. Okay,
but dude,
let me
there's totally like this sense in which, like, imagine going to a comic book store and looking for a rare comic. And yeah, you could find a scan of it on the internet, but somehow there's just something cool about finding that thing, like, in the store and touching it, just smelling the jacket. I don't know. Anyway, that same thing happens with, like, hunting for a record, right? Like,
why so many comic fans, like, talk about smelling their comics when they talk about why they prefer comics to digital medium. I have never, ever stuck my nose in an issue of Amazing Spider-Man or anything else for that. Who are these people?
I don't know. I'm about to start sniffing my comics. Hang on.
He's going to get high. I dated a girl for a while.
Is that what it is?
No. Not at all. I dated a girl for a while who actively disliked the smell of, like, old books, like library books and stuff. You know, they definitely have a smell, right?
For sure.
So she just, like, would not read some library books because they had that strong smell. And she was like, no, yeah. I can't enjoy this book. It smells too bad. Now, I don't mind that smell, but definitely some people like it.
I just think it's fascinating that there's some people that, like, really wax poetic about that part of it.
All right, here's one of my older trade paperbacks that I've had since I was, like, 13.
Okay.
I'm about to have a live test here.
All right.
Sniff the shit out of this.
Get that mic in there.
That's right.
Shit, it actually does smell like what I remember it.
Riyadh was just saying it. Like,
I'm 12.
Newsprint has a definite, you know, odor to it. Is it,
you know, there's something else too. Smells are a very, very powerful, like, your mind forms very powerful links to memories via smell. That what Key just said about being 12 is totally something I can identify with. I sometimes smell something and
oh, yeah.
It's just like, yep, I have this. You know, the strange memory like bubbles up to the surface based on just like some random smell as I'm,
sure.
I don't know, walking down the street or packing boxes or whatever.
Hang on. Now I'm going for the Infinity Gauntlet. This is a little bit later. Let's see what it smells like.
This is an advanced smell.
This is not even the weirdest thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
Not as good.
No. You need to age that some more?
I think
Do you happen to have the Gajala Brew issue lying around? And could you tell us whether that one triggers any memories?
I'm so ashamed to say it's in my safe.
That's the best thing that's come out of this conversation.
No. I'm gonna let you off the hook on that one. Like that, something like that that's beloved from your childhood. You know, Riyadh was just talking about this. You know, these are things you save and keep.
So here's a book that I had lost for about 30 years, and I just found it. It's a book about Mickey Mantle, and inside of it, and I didn't even know I had this, is an autographed baseball card of Bobby Valentine.
Oh my God, I had that card.
Let's see what the card smells like. Wait a minute, who's on the other side? Gary Thurman.
Oh, you double carded it?
I did, because I thought Gary Thurman was going to be about as
Bobby V, I'm so sorry. Keyshawn's cheating on you.
The card.
Fuck Bobby V from a Red Sox fan.
Hey, Bobby V had one of the best fucking restaurants that I ever remember. That place was awesome.
The smells, they were amazing.
Describe to me the smell. Does it excite your emotions?
Wait a minute, I gotta put my Bobby V card back in there so I can rediscover it another 20 years.
There you go. Hey, let me bring it back to music for 1 second. So if the whole vinyl is better thing is largely crapola, what is the best media as far as like sound quality
CD.
And preservation?
CD.
You could go beyond CD if you want to. You can go crazy. I used to have a collection of Super Audio CDs.
I remember those.
And DVD audio.
Yeah, those lossless sound formats.
They're not quite lossless, but they're right. Somewhat... Well, look, CD is also lossless in a sense. It's just like there's a sample rate and there's a bit rate to it. And Super Audio CD has a higher effective bit rate, and DVD audio has a higher bit rate and a higher sample rate and all these things, right? Like, so... Yeah, people go arbitrarily crazy, but the fact is, like, nowadays people don't even care about CD level quality, let alone SACD or DVD audio. Like, apparently,
yeah, they just listen to it on YouTube.
yeah. Apparently popular songs are being mixed with the sensibilities of sort of a younger generation in mind, who are used to the kind of artifacts you get from MP3s or from YouTube, and there's actually some sound that they get, like certain sibilance that like has a bit of distortion to it, and they like go after that because somehow that's what the kids want. So okay, well,
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. You said that, and I started picturing like a music video on YouTube of Taylor Swift with Nyan Cat going on in the background.
Nice. Can I admit something since you brought up Taylor Swift?
Oh, so like, God, no.
This is Taylor, safe haven. Go ahead.
Taylor Swift is number one, completely adorable, and number two, extremely talented. Is it okay for me to admit those two things?
I am,
or at least that I think that those two things are true.
Points.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Also, she has an uncanny knack for producing stuff that a 7-year-old girl immediately gloms onto.
Dude, they're just extremely like poppy songs. Like anyone likes those. They're just lovable. There's nothing challenging about them. They say love me, and you do.
That was great.
Like, imagine giving
I wrote,
your...
like, a whole half part of an article about this phenomenon. I mean, I'm in total agreement.
Look, there's something totally, like, everyone loves candy and not everyone loves, I don't know, spinach or sardines, right? Like, somehow there are certain foods that are acquired tastes, and just like, in the same way there's certain music that's an acquired taste. Like, I can totally understand that not everyone loves the album
so
Leviathan
saying
by Mastodon.
Taylor Swift is Pepsi, but not Mountain Dew.
No, she, well, not Diet Mountain Dew for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I think Taylor Swift is Swedish Fish. Like, you just, everyone loves Swedish Fish. Come on. The red ones?
Except in they're, Sweden where they're just called fish.
And they're also black salty licorice because it's Sweden.
All right. I've got my oldest book that I own. I've had it since I was two.
Which one is it?
It is the Star Wars storybook. And when you didn't have VHS and didn't have any way of watching Star Wars, you just looked at this book over and over ad nauseum. It literally has things where I colored in there when I was like 3 years old.
That's awesome.
Brother, I remember.
And it warped my mind for 20 years because in it is a rarity that it has scenes that weren't in the movie.
C-3PO is signed by Bobby Valentine.
Right. Like, it has this scene that wasn't in the movie, for those of you that are looking on video.
Which would be nobody.
And I would swear, well, except you guys. And, yes, and I used to swear that I saw that in the movie, and then I remembered that it was in this book. And I will tell you that this book definitely has a certain funk to it that was the funk of my yesteryear.
The funk of my youth.
Yes. Which is a great name for a rock band.
Funk of my youth. Yeah, I'm into that.
That begs the question that
funk
I have.
Funk of my youth, don't give it to you.
I've been trying to name my man cave, and I've got to come up with a name. Right now I'm going with the Continental until somebody comes up with something better.
You know, speaking of, like, things that we can see that the listeners can't see, I'm looking at you right now, Keyshawn, and behind you there is a memorial plaque of Nolan Ryan beating the shit out of Robin Ventura.
Absolutely.
Signed by Nolan
engraved
Valentine.
And bejeweled in his honor.
That's signed by Nolan.
That's a pretty excellent thing to have on a man cave wall.
It says Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura, the only man to get 5 hits off of Nolan Ryan in one game in the face.
That's awesome.
That's the best thing that's ever happened in baseball, right there on your wall. Good job.
You're right. That's it. That's the peak.
that's slightly unfair. There have been bench-clearing brawls in baseball games before.
Never been that good. The closest that's ever come was when George Brett lost his freaking mind for his cork bat. And that's still a distant second compared to an old 40-year-old man beating the shit out of a 21-year-old boy who thought he could take it.
Yeah, dude, look, I would not fuck with Nolan Ryan today, let alone when he was 40 or 30 or 25.
Exactly.
Right? So, yeah, no, that's totally...
Now, is that because you're afraid he would physically accost you, or the fact that, as a Texan, you're pretty sure he's got at least 4 guns on his person?
Look, the second may be true, but look, any guy who can throw a ball 100 miles an hour can throw a punch 100 miles an hour. And that man does not need to be fucked with, all right? He would rather be punching me in the head than basically anything else he could be doing with his life.
I'm sure he thinks that every day.
Yeah. He wakes up and sees my face and just then sees red.
I should be punching that guy.
That's awesome. There's something pretty great about how we have this, I don't know, we have this double standard for sports where, like, you see a fight in hockey and you're like, okay, it's hockey. You see a fight in any other sport and you're like, holy shit, did you see that? Like, I don't know. It's so, like, when you reflect on it, it feels a little fake, but somehow still I can't help reacting to, like, real-ass fights happening in games anything other than hockey.
Well, I mean, it's a basketball. Basketball is when they ran up in the stands.
That was so awesome.
The audience.
Yeah, the NBA is still trying to live that down. I know for a fact that Simmons and his crew, I've been trying to get them to do a 30 for 30 about it. And they will not. They're like, what? That never happened.
Right.
Well, Simmons isn't going to do it anymore, dude. Simmons is persona non grata around ESPN.
What's he doing now?
Simmons, he's starting with HBO.
Yeah. Yeah, in the middle of the summer.
As Forrest we're doing right this minute, he's tweeting obnoxiously about how Roger Goodell should suck Tom Brady's dick.
That's awesome. And 100% true.
No.
So what happened with Simmons was he got fired, like, not unceremoniously, but he got fired by ESPN because they had this standing rule that if they ever had they weren't allowed to go on non-network shows, or maybe they weren't allowed to have non-network guests without permission or something. And he had he either had Dan Patrick on a podcast of his, or I think actually he went on the Dan Patrick show and didn't get permission from ESPN. And as a result, he got fired just like that same day.
That was the excuse they used, the terminate clause.
Yeah, exactly. They were trying to cut costs because they also got rid of Colin Cowherd, and now they have absolutely fucking unlistenable 10 a.m. Radio shows. Holy shit.
Wait a minute. I thought the legit reason why he was fired, I know that's why the excuse, I agree with Cyrus, but the legit reason why he was fired was because he was calling out the NFL on their bullshit.
He was going after Goodell.
Right?
Well,
he was going after Goodell.
Because Goodell is terrible at his job. And
exactly.
He's called out.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going to offer a rare criticism of Simmons, who I often enjoy and usually defend. This nonsense about Brady didn't do it is just that. Goodell is abusing his power, no question. But the circumstantial evidence pretty much, at least to me, and maybe they could prove otherwise if this goes far enough in a court, but it looks like Brady was knew that those balls were getting tampered with and was perfectly on board with it.
There's Goodell plenty of other shit that was going on there, dude. This is some kind of like... This is a dog and pony show. This is we're all being, my opinion, like, I'm sure that people were doing shit, whatever.
Sure.
But this is a total dog and pony show. Like, the fact that that sources, quote unquote, sources inside the NFL were releasing completely erroneous information about what, like the pressure of the footballs and like there was all kinds of shit going down that was like completely sketchy, and the NFL wasn't policing leaks, and the leaks were completely untrue, and then Chris Mortensen was reporting them, and the whole thing was just fucked. Like, basically we are caught in the middle of a PR battle between the players' union and the NFL administration, and everything else to me is a distraction. Like, the NFL was being sketchy about something because they just decided that they wanted to fuck with somebody, and the players' union is God knows what. They're using this as a way of maybe getting out of some of the shit that they signed
The players' union
agreement
has a history, and they probably should be doing this, but they aggressively, you know, they're there on behalf of the players. That's
sure.
their purpose.
Well, that's their job. Yeah.
Yeah, so even if, you know, that does put you in the situation where you're defending Greg Hardy from beating the crap out of his wife. I mean, these things happen.
And throwing her onto a futon covered in guns. Why do you have guns on your futon, dude? I don't even know if
that's
it was really a futon. I'd like to imagine that it was a futon, and then I'm gonna say, number one, you're an NFL player. Why do you own a futon? And number two, and maybe it wasn't a futon. It doesn't matter. In my head, it was a futon, goddammit. And number two, put the guns in a safe. That's what – you shouldn't store guns on your couch. You store
– That's where you throw people.
Yeah, you throw people on a couch because it's soft. And if guns are in the way, then things get bad. Now, I mean, I sound like a terrible person, but, like, honestly, that guy is fucked up and should be punched in the face by somebody much larger than me.
Or offer a contract at a discounted
price by Jerry Jones.
Yep. Oh, goodness.
A canny businessman.
I'm going to take a moment here to – I mentioned this on Twitter. I'm going to elaborate here a little bit more if you guys will indulge me for a moment.
Tags.
Dear Mr. Paul Allen and dear Mr. Jerry Jones, I am currently without an NFL team to root for things that you have both done. So here's the deal. The first one of you that fires your shitty, overrated head coach that I can't stand, that's who I will be a fan of.
Don't worry, Seattle's going to be trash this year. And, oh, Jesus, they're in a terrible division again. Fuck, I don't know if they're going to be trash or not. They might, like, somehow manage to fuck their way into the playoffs.
They will not be as good as they've been in the past because now they're having to pay that core appropriate market value. They've lost their depth.
Yep.
So, you know, that's going to hurt. They still look like one of the best teams in the NFC to me, at least on paper. Injuries are probably going to hurt them more than they have in the past as a result.
Yep.
But I still think they'll be up there.
I'm going to say Green Bay is going to win the NFC this year, though.
Green Bay will be in the hunt. As long as you have Rodgers, you're going to be there. Arizona.
Dallas could, too, by the way.
We'll come back to that. Arizona, for reasons I don't understand, feels like to me it should be a more popular pick, and yet they're not getting respected. And I'm trying to figure out why that is.
It's just hard to respect Arizona, dude. I don't know what it is, but, like, somehow. Yeah, they had a great defense last year, and then they lost their defensive coordinator. Their offense was underachieving. They still don't really have a story for the quarterback.
Because they didn't go to war with half their offense for most of the year. And now those guys are back now.
Yeah, and fucking Carson Palmer's noodle arm is 1 year older. So I don't know what to say. I mean,
well, Palmer's going to
throw 1,000 interceptions this year. That's my number, 1,000. I'm taking it over.
Well, maybe that's what I'm not seeing. Because if that's the common perception that Palmer just doesn't have it anymore, then, yeah, I don't think he would be high on Arizona. But
I'm wrong, but, like, Carson has not been the same since that knee blowout. The dude was
For sure. But he was pretty good the year before the injury last year. And, you know, they've got pretty good talent. Ellington should be healthy again, which will really help.
Yeah,
they went 11-5. I mean, God, they were a fucking MASH unit. I mean, they were that team. Every year there's an NFL team that just gets beat to shit.
Yeah, there's some Walking Dead team that still manages to do reasonably well.
Yeah. So, I could be wrong. I have no idea. I'm surprised more people.
The 49ers have taken themselves. The 49ers have recused themselves from the competition.
Oh, yeah, that's another just bizarre thing.
Tire fire.
It's
just driving by a pile of burning tires on the side of the road. That is the 49ers.
Like you were saying, I think Dallas will be in it. They made some savvy moves in free agency. They've done a good job of building a team with their credit card maxed out, to their credit. I think they're going to miss Murray more than anyone wants to admit right now, but they should be okay. Romo just might have to throw some more, but, you know, there's worse options at quarterback than Tony Romo, for sure.
Sure.
The Patriots, I think, are going to regress, which makes the AFC interesting.
The Patriots are going to have a lot of trouble, right? Like, they're not going to have – they don't have nearly the secondary they did last year.
I know.
Maybe their D-line will – I mean, they're going to play a completely different defense this year. Well, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's clearly not going to be take one person out of the game with Revis and then roll a safety to help whoever the number two – to help whoever's covering the number two receiver. That was their entire strategy last year, and it worked because Revis is a fucking machine still. But I don't know what the hell they're going to do this year. And I think Miami may be a legit – like, Tannehill is not a great quarterback, but he's a kind of goodish quarterback.
The rest of that team
is solid.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure how long they'll sustain being good because of that contract they offered Sue. But, Miami's interesting for sure. Hell, Buffalo's interesting.
Well, Buffalo's offense is still a big question mark, but their defense
is really good. I watched Tyrod Taylor a little bit last week. Not great, but there's some interesting upside, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if Rex can manage to develop a quarterback. I'm still pretty bearish on that.
If LeSean McCoy is hurt. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Yeah, I don't know how badly. That would be bad.
What happened?
I don't know. There was something about him, I think, having to stop practice for an injury. But they didn't. No one spoke about what it was. So
interesting.
Yeah. So that's my non-news minute for the podcast. Something happened somewhere. Turn in at 11.
Blah 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 blah.
Is Philly going to be just like a dumpster fire? I don't understand what's going on in Philly.
Bill Barnwell of Grantland.com really hates Philadelphia's offseason, and to the point where I think it's a little absurd. Because Kelly made some good moves and some bad moves over the offseason, I would say. But, I mean, God, they had an offense with Nick Foles and Mark Sanchez at the helm last year.
Now they have the glass cannon himself.
Yeah.
The crystal cannon.
I think I they'll be okay.
Can Bradford be good?
Sure.
Chip Kelly has made offenses out of much worse quarterbacks than Sam Bradford, right? So we could see it happen.
Again, see Foles coming, Nick.
Or any of the quarterbacks he had at fucking Oregon. And still he managed to make offenses that worked, right? So somehow he's got a knack for, you know, building an offense that hides his weaknesses.
Sure.
But, man, you can't build an offense around a dude who doesn't have an ACL. And if I were a betting man, I'd put the over-under at week 5 for Sam Bradford's ACL. So just because, I mean, shit, that's –
I'll take the over.
You're taking the over? Okay, I'm taking the under.
I will. He's due to have like a healthy streak here.
Let's make it.
Wow, that's a ringing endorsement.
Let's make it 5.5. Okay.
That's my argument.
If he survives until week 6, you win this. If he goes down week 5 or earlier, I win this. I'm saying Sam Bradford's ACL has a lifetime of 5.5 games, and I'm taking the under.
I do have an interesting Chip Kelly anecdote for you. DeMarco Murray is not being allowed to touch the ball at all because of how many touches Garrett gave him last year in Dallas.
Well, that's a great thing to do. You should definitely get running backs and then just not have them touch the ball.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty smart. I think he looked at the kinesiology and was like, oh, this guy had 400 fucking carries in 1 year. He probably needs to not do that again if I want him to play most of the season.
Well, wait a second. Maybe you wouldn't pick him up in that case. I don't get it.
Oh, well, that was the part where, you know, I think you can level a legitimate criticism of Kelly. Murray, weirdly enough, lobbied to be on Philadelphia, and then when Gore balked at the last minute, I think they were in a place where they were like, we built for an RBC but don't have a committee. So this guy's good, and he wants to come here, so I guess we'll pay him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think
not the best way to handle it, but, you know.
That's not a particularly great situation to be in, choosing between Murray, who's extremely talented and still relatively young, but God, he's had some hard miles. And Gore, who's reaching the end of it, by any reasonable measure, should already be at the end of his career.
Word out of Indianapolis is Gore looks great.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
That's my fantasy football tip of the night, actually. I think Gore is going to be undervalued.
I have no doubts that Indy will mount a good offense. Their offense has not been a problem in the last several years. Their defense has been a big problem.
Yeah. The inability to stop the run.
Yeah.
Very true. It's going to be an interesting season.
It will. I'm pretty excited. I wonder what Denver will look like now that they've gotten rid of the miracle worker, John Fox. A man who could make Tim Tebow into a playoff quarterback.
I have two predictions there. One, Peyton Manning will not last the season because Kubiak's got him running bootlegs at age 40. And number two, C.J. Anderson is going to have it. Yeah, no, dude, I'm not even fucking kidding. It's Kubiak and his system.
He's like, it worked for Jake the Snake. Get out there and run those fucking bootlegs.
Yeah. But I guess this is my second fantasy tip of the evening. I think C.J. Anderson might have a really good year, because he's going into that beautiful one-cut zone blocking scheme that Kubiak subscribes to.
Yeah, it's true. Look, there's something to be said for that scheme. Like, everyone who's ever run that fucking thing has turned normal running backs into goddamn gold. That's like the Midas touch for running backs.
I don't know if it's going to result in a lot of wins, but he's going to get a lot of yards.
He'll get yards, yeah, for sure. What is John Fox, the miracle worker, going to do in that's his full title, by the way, John Fox, the miracle worker. You shall not invoke his name without it. What is John Fox, the miracle worker, going to do in Chicago? Is he going to cure Cutler's diabetes and turn him into a good quarterback?
Cutler just doesn't look at the defense. It's so painfully obvious that that's what the problem is, and that's not sustainable.
I can't read defenses.
So.
I'm not a loser.
Yeah, it comes from the great Chris Sims / Jeff George tradition of quarterbacking.
That's right. Dude, do you remember?
The other team can't catch the ball. Come on.
Do you remember? It wasn't Bleacher Report. Somebody has that Rex Grossman "fuck it, I'm going deep" article.
That's Cutler. That's how Cutler plays football.
Yeah, Chicago just found another one somehow. Keyshawn, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you read that "fuck it, I'm going deep" article?
No.
Oh God. Just search for that term on Google sometime. Everyone listening, do that. Going deep. It's about Rex Grossman, but it definitely applies to Jay Cutler as well. It is hilarious. It's a glimpse inside the mind of the gunslinging quarterback, and it's great.
It's about who?
It's about Rex Grossman. Sexy Rexy, bro. I don't think it was Bleacher Report, but it was
Up Rock?
It was. It might have been one of the Up Rock sites.
KissingSusieColbert.com.
It's Kissing Susie Colbert. That's right, and they're part of Up Rocks. Fuck it, I'm going deep.
Are we about to get a dramatic reading from Keyshawn?
Oh shit!
He got super quiet over there.
I think he's getting into character.
I think he's getting into scotch.
I'm scotching it up, motherfuckers.
All right. You and your 12-point stag better bring it with the Rex Grossman article.
All right, guys. I got to log off and read this article and drink this scotch. I'll take your time.
Fuck you. Read it out loud.
All right. That's enough football. People are not listening to Full of Sonotherapy podcast for football. They're here for the hardcore nerd shit.
They might listen to
that
football.
End.
Wait, speaking of hardcore nerd shit, because it's a video game and it's also football, so it's a good segue before we really segue out of here. Did you watch that Madden 2016 trailer?
I haven't yet. I hate myself.
It's hilarious.
Mute the mic and watch it now.
It's good. Yeah. Everyone should go watch it. Just pause the podcast.
Yeah.
We're going
to
still be here when you get back, but you'll be a happier person for it.
You have to.
Watch that. It's goddamn hilarious. It's got Rex. It's got.
It's got Rex Grossman.
It's got Rex Grossman going deep. No.
It's got McLovin.
It does. It has McLovin.
What?
I forget what the hell his name is.
Oh, Janet.
Yeah, well, his name in the movie is Janet. That's true.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Look, man.
I am for real.
You really ought to just watch it right this second.
Well, if I watch that and you read this article, it's just going to be Riyadh, like, touching himself on the podcast.
No, it has Rex Ryan, dude, and McLovin calls him dad. And he's like, I'm not your dad.
What does this have to do with Madden, though?
Yes, I don't understand.
It's ridiculous. Just don't watch it later. People listening to the podcast, pause the podcast. I told you already to go pause the podcast. Why haven't you paused it and gone and watched it? Go watch it. Come back.
Right through that fourth wall, Lobby.
I'll be able to tell if you haven't watched it yet.
America.
I will know your shame, and I will expose it to the world.
Lobby and I are of one accord.
That's right. There is no fourth wall. There is only Rex Ryan as dad.
Oh.
I'm gonna call him dad from now on too.
The names in it are as good as the
Jerry Rhodes credits.
The Volvo lead.
It stars Colin Kaepernick as Al Pacino as the guy from The Scent of a Woman.
It's so good.
And so Colin Kaepernick is a convincing Al Pacino somehow.
That's the worst part.
I had to pause it and be like, that's not Colin Kaepernick. And it was. It was.
Oh, but no, that's so, it's so good.